Okay.
So yesterday, towards the second half of this year, we started developing, or moved on to the topic of Shas Hashmad. We saw we've seen different types of Yehar Le'Yavar. We saw, you know, the various Chamuros type of Yehar Le'Yavar. We saw the Parhesia type. And then moving on to the Shas Hashmad, which is like the third and final type of Yehar Le'Yavar. And we developed different approaches in terms of what exactly is the nature of Mechai for Yehar Le'Yavar. We saw most Mefarshim took the Chil Hashem approach, while others, we saw, took a variety of the Chumras HaIsser approach. Either Chumras HaIsser of the, you know, one mitzvah, you know, has the connotation of all mitzvahs because it's of Rashi, you know, because if you give in to one, end up resulting in, you know, the violation of all. So perhaps that, you know, lends more chomer to the one particular mitzvah, or the nitziv variety, where he says it's like domel avodah zarah, basically given, you know, the theological implications of, you know, giving in, just, you know, in terms of the rebellion against Yados, even giving in to one mitzvah in the context of shmad basically has a connotation of being domel avodah zarah. So again, there you have in the mefarshim, I guess, two approaches, two general approaches. Is it midin chil Hashem, or is it midin like we'll call it, Rashi will call it the Torah matah halel, the, you know, the snowball effect, or this is called this domel avodah zarah of the nitziv. The importance of, you know, of isolating, really trying to, you know, identify the exact mechayev of Yehar Le'Yavar is that will then help understand whether basically various applications of Shas Hashmad. You want to see what's called the impacted issues, but when Shas Hashmad is going to apply. So the first issue that we're going to see, it's like a big issue discussed by many mefarshim, is whether the heter of Hanas Atzmo applies in the context of Shas Hashmad. And we're going to see that this is going to be directly impacted by what the lundas of the mechayev of Shas Hashmad is going to be. So before going into like the specific Mishonim, let's just, you know, give a background analysis based on the different mahalchim, of whether misvara you would think that Yehar Le'Yavar of Shmad would apply even in the case of Hanas Asa. So going through each approach. So first within the Chil Hashem approach. So the Pashtus, within the Chil Hashem approach, you would think that what? Would Hanas Asma apply or not apply? Presumably it would apply. Exactly. You would think that within Chil Hashem, right, Malkom Hanas Asma, we always see that Hanas Asma undermines the factor of Chil Hashem. So that's the Pashas. We're going to see, that might not be so Pashas according to everybody, we're going to see perhaps according to the Rambam, there might be indications that even if you think Mechayev is Chil Hashem, there might still be a reason to not apply Hanas Atzmo, and what would be the reason? Get back to this later, but just to suggest at the onset, perhaps Hanas Atzmo only undermines a Chil Hashem which is generated by the Anas. In the case, let's say, in the context of Farhesia, so since the Chil Hashem is generated by the, you know, the Anas coming along, Birabim, and saying, oh, you know, give up your life or violate your religion, so perhaps in that context, when the whole Chil Hashem is stemming from the Anas, so maybe the Chiyai Gavna, the factor of Hanas Atzmo of the Anas, will undermine the Chil Hashem. But perhaps, in the context of Shmad, where really the Chil Hashem is being generated by the context of Shmad, so perhaps even if the Anas, particular Anas, has the, you know, Hanas Atzmo, you know, intentions, perhaps still, since the Lamaisa, there is a Shmad out there, so perhaps even the Chil Hashem factor will apply. So keep that in mind. So even within the Chil Hashem, although the Pashtus, Hanas Atzmo should apply within the Chil Hashem, it might help to have this svara in our back pockets to justify even within Chil Hashem might even apply to Malkom Hanas Atzmo, given that really the source of the Chil Hashem is really the context of Shmad and not really the Anas, and therefore the Anas's particular mindset might play less of a role. It's just important to keep in mind. So that's within Chil Hashem. Moving on to the Nitziv's version of it being Domel Avodah Zarah. So again, if you think that the Mechayev is the version of Avodah Zarah, so then whether Hanas Atzmo applies should be subject to the general Machlokas, which we'll get to later on in a couple days, but whether the Heter of Hanas Atzmo applies to the Averis Chamuros. We've already seen this already. Again, depending on whether you think the Averis Chamuros is Midin Chil Hashem or Midin Chumras HaIsser, will then impact the application of Hanas Atzmo. So again, if you take the Nitziv's approach to that, basically Shmad makes every mitzvah into an Avodah Zarah, so then insert the general machlokes about whether Hanas Atzmo applies to Avodah Zarah to ascertain whether Hanas Atzmo will apply to Shmad. That would be the analysis within Rashi's, we'll call it Torah Matahela, the snowball effect. So again, it's an open question. And the Tziv, when he quotes Rashi's version of Shmad, he notes also that it's an open question about whether that factor of Torah Matahela, this factor of Shilayagilo, the Chavim Lahamath, as Lavavas Lakach, it's an open question as to whether that applies the Makom Hanas Asfal. What are the Tzadim? Presumably the Tzadim are as follows. On the one hand, you could say, if it's all about Torah Matahela, the snowball effect, so you might say, any violation will generate that momentum. And therefore, even the Makom Hanas Asfal, it's still going to apply. That's one side. The other hand, you could say, that perhaps the only time the momentum of Shalei Argilu applies is when the purpose of the persecution is theological, is religious. But if it's just Hanas Asma, perhaps the violation of Makom Hanas Asma doesn't create that same momentum of Shalei Argilu of Torah Matzehela. So again, within Rashi, again, it seems to be an open question as to whether you would apply the Mechayev of Shmad in the context of Hanas Asma. And the Netziv already points that out. And we'll get to what Rashi actually holds Lamaisa. So again, that's the analysis, just the background analysis, based on the three different approaches to Shmad. So now going into the actual, concrete Shitos in the Sugya. And again, we have to look at number one for what the Lamaisa holds, right, in the context of Shmad. And also it's important to also glean from all these Mefarshim, if you can, what the relationship between Shmad and Farhesia is. We're going to see him from a number of Mefarshim, where they're going to say that either the application of Hanas Atzmo is more Pashit to Shmad, even if you hold that, let's say, the Heter of Hanas Atzmo applies, we're going to see that's the first approach. It's still interesting to see whether these Rishonim think it's more Pashit to apply Hanas Atzmo to Shmad over Farhesia, or is it the opposite? So again, even if, right, Ashita Lamaisa holds that it applies to Shmad just like it applies to Farhesia, it's an interesting question to see which one is more Pashit, because that itself has implications in terms of what the Mechayev of Shmad is. So with that, let's go to the first approach. Again, the first general approach in the Rishonim is to apply the Heter of Hanas Atzmo to the context of Shmad. So let's go through the different Farshim and see if there are any implications. So the first one on the list is the She'iltos. If you see, if anyone has their sheet, it's important to read the She'iltos inside, because he seems to take a stance on this question of what the relationship between Shmad and Farhesia is in terms of the application of Hanas Atzmo. So first, let's see. You want something? You have the sheet with you? Go for it.
צריך אני מילי איכד את המכוון גוי לעבורי לבר ישראל לסוע
is it when does your heart apply? Only when it's כוונה להעביר איסור
איכד את המכוון להנעתו מהי בכיוון
מהי? Right, that's the question. What does it stop them? Right, the question is whether there is, right, he's just presenting, is there a heter of Hanas Atzmo in general by Yehar Gleyavor?
מכיוון לפרסיה הוא עת בכיבוש השם עוד דילמה, כיוון דלב לעבורי כמכוון, אלא להנעתו ליתפי משום קידוש השם.
Right, so he's presenting the suffix. Even from the perspective of, he's in the context of Parhesia, he's presenting, right? Context of Parhesia. Do you say that Hanas Asma neutralizes the Chil Hashem, or does it not neutralize the Chil Hashem? It's an open question.
Tashma, damar rabba hai anasa de anis lele Yisrael, ve amri le katil asafta ve shabbat.
So what's the case? Right, an anus comes along and threatens a person to either chop off, cut some grass, which would be over the malach of Kotzer on Shabbos, right, and feed my animal, and if not, I'm going to kill you. So in this case, Yavor Bayehari. So this seems to be an example of the heter of anus atzma.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're doing it, because the guy only cares about feeding his animal. But if the guy says, so, but in this case, where he's not doing anything with it, he's just saying, violate Shabbos, cut it, but for no purpose, for the anus, then your hardly ever applies. And that was the key line. What does the Shiltos ask?
Right,
what's the kasha? But how do we know
that Rabbi is talking about phrase? Yeah.
As the Shiltos, as the Nitziv points out, what is he potentially limiting it to?
Only phrase.
Only
to. Only to.
To Shema. Meaning the way Nitziv reads this Shiltos, I think it's a good read. But the Shiltos starts off by asking a kasha: does the hefter of Anas Antmo apply to Farhesia? So the Shiltos then brings a raya from the Gemara that you see that there is a hefter of Anas Antmo out there. But then the Shiltos says, but how do you know that that hefter applies to the case of Farhesia? But then what was the case referring to? Yes, the Shilt. So the Nitziv in Ha'amik Sheila says the Havamina of the Shiltos is that the Heter of Anas Atzma is Dafka limited to Shmad, and he's saying, but maybe it's only limited to Shmad. But how do you know that it also applies to Farhesia? And he answers, the Shiltos says, oh look, it's clear from the context of the Gemara. It's clear that the Gemara asks Vahav Hester Ha Esther Farhesia Hava, and yet Rava gives the answer of Anas Atzma. So Limaskana, the Shiltos clearly applies the heter of Anas Atzmo both to Farhesia and to Shmat. But according to the Nitziv's read of the Shiltos has a habit to specifically apply it to Shmat and not to apply it to Farhesia. So the Nitziv, again, is not focusing so much on the Havamina, but is pointing out, well, all the Nitziv says is that, oh look, you see from the Shiltos that it's Pashut that Hanas Atzmo applies to Shmad. And then Nitziv says, oh, Lishitaso. Because if you remember, the Shiltos was on the Chil Hashem list. The Shiltos is one of the people who formulates the Mechayev of Shmad as Chil Hashem. And therefore he's saying, it's Pashit that the fact of Hanas Atzmo is going to apply to Shmad, which is, whose Mechayev is Chil Hashem. Adkan, the Nitziv. But the problem is, not the problem, but the question you still have to ask is that Farhesia is also Midin Chil Hashem. So if it's so pashut that Hanas Atzmo applies to Shmad because Shmad is Chil Hashem, so why would the Shiltos entertain the possibility of limiting the heter of Hanas Atzmo to Shmad and not applying it to Farhesia? So right, given that they're both Midin Chil Hashem. So this forces us to now take a step back and try to understand from what perspective can you basically view the Chil Hashem of Shmad as being less chamor as then the Chil Hashem of Farhesia, such that the heter of Anas Atzmo, at least in the Havamina, would be limited to the Chil Hashem of Shmad, but wouldn't apply to the Chil Hashem of Farhesia. Everyone understand the question? Basically trying to understand at least the Havamina of the Shiltos, why at least in the Havamina is he basically more willing to apply the heter of Anas Atzmo to the Chil Hashem of Shmad over the Chil Hashem of Farhesia. So two suggestions, and this relates to our discussion yesterday in terms of what type of Chil Hashem is at play for Shmad. As I pointed out before, that it could be that the Chil Hashem associated with Shmad is the Chil Hashem of Tzina. And pointed out, according to most Rishonim, and we thought the Shiltos was in that category, that they just say that there's a Tzina. So perhaps the Havamina of the Shiltos is based on the Chilik between Chil Hashem b'Tzina versus Chil Hashem b'Farhesia. And the Shiltos is saying, perhaps the Hanas Atzmo only neutralizes the Chil Hashem Bitzina of the Shmad variety, but perhaps it doesn't even extend to the Chil Hashem Bifarhesia in the case of Farhesia. So that'd be one way to interpret the Havamina of the Shiltos based on being machalik between Chil Hashem Bitzina and Chil Hashem Bifarhesia. But again, that doesn't work for the Nitziv. Again, that works with our interpretation of the Shiltos. We pointed out, if you look at the Shiltos in Lashon, the way he formulated the Chil Hashem Bashmad, it seems to be a Chil Hashem of Tzina. And then, again, once it's Chil Hashem B'Tzina, you can be Mechalik between Shmad, which is the Chil Hashem of Tzina, and Farhesia, which is Chil Hashem Harabim. But, right, Hadra Kusha L'Duchta, according to the Nitziv. Because if you recall, the Nitziv in Siv Katan Ches, in Oz Ches, interpreted the Chil Hashem of Shmad within the Shiltos as being a Chil Hashem b'Farhesia, where he said Chaver Chaver Islay, that anything that happens b'Tzina in Shmad will basically become known to the public. So he in essence said, seemed to equate the Chil Hashem b'Rabim of Farhesia with the Chil Hashem b'Rabim of Shmad. So according to the Shiltos, according to his read, Hadra Kusha L'Duchta, what is the basis of being mechalek between the two forms of Chil Hashem, Barabim, of Shmad and Farhesi. And this is going to get to Ha'ari Yimid yesterday. That even if you think, or this is a second suggestion, even if you think that the Chil Hashem, that Shmad is Chil Hashem Barabim, you still have to admit that it's a different type of Chil Hashem Barabim. Basically, the Chil Hashem Barabim of Farhesia is where the Rabim actually witness the Chil Hashem, actually witness the violation itself. But perhaps that is different than even the Chil Hashem Barabim of the Shmad variety, where we'll call it it's Yediyah below Re'iyah. Where even in the Shmad, everyone, even the Sid, is going to admit that the Rabim didn't see the violation. Everyone's going to admit that in Shmad, only one person is there, only the Anas is there. So even if you say that there's still a Chil Hashem Barabim, it's the fact that the knowledge, Chavar Chavar Isla, the knowledge of the violation is going to basically spread. So it could be, according to second answer, that even if both Shmad and Farhesia are Chil Hashem Bifarhesia, Barabim, it could be there's a fundamental distinction between the different types of Chil Hashem Bifarhesia. Chil Hashem Barabim, where the Rabim actually had a Re'iyah of the violation, which is Eino Domet to the Shmad variety, where it is lower level of Chil Hashem Barabim, which is just Yediyah below Re'iyah, where they found out about it, but they didn't actually see it, so perhaps that's a lower level Chil Hashem Barabim, and therefore perhaps there's a Havamina to limit the Heter of Anas Atzmo to specifically that variety of Chil Hashem Barabim, which is Yediyah below Re'iyah.
Firstly, that sound that Chil Hashem, also maybe not just quantitatively, but also qualitatively. Since the Farhesia and the Re'iyah, you could say, is a more formal type of Chil Hashem. Therefore, Anas Atzmo might be less shy of a more formal version of the Chil Hashem. Also, maybe you could also be kind of like pragmatically, that when 10 people are actually there, it's like very clearly Farhesia, whereas Chavar Chavar Islay is like a probability, but
Could
it's
be.
Also less,
you're saying,
less direct,
it's
pragmatic
extreme.
Person.
Exactly. Yeah. I was in the middle. Yeah.
And then also, just I thought the end of the Shultos that you quoted sounded like Shas Shmad would be Aser B'Nas Atzmo. Remember, he goes through the whole list, right, of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right, then he says, "Lahan also, Afilu Farhesia, Afilu Abudazara, Kaki Yimunki Yavavayim Veg, Shas Shmad, Afilu Shara Veres Vitzina Yavavayim."
Where does that tell you about it?
Well, I'm saying, when he listed all the things that are okay, right, Lahan also, even Farhesia, and then he said, Shas Hashmad, everything. Although he also didn't talk about it, huh?
Yeah, I'm saying you omit it.
They cancel each other out.
So, I mean, I hear that, but I think it's open, and in light of the Netziv's read of the Havmina, the question is, what was the case limited to? So he's assuming, I guess, if it wasn't Farhesia, you have to submit it. It's clear in the case of the Aspasta that there was a heter of Anas Atzmo somewhere. So if, in the next line, he's saying, oh, perhaps it doesn't extend to Farhesia. So then what was it applying to? Again, it's clearly the Shabbos, it's clearly not a Paris Chamuros. So the only thing that's left seems to be the case of Shmad. So that would be a raya to the Nativ's read. Again, given the end is open, I mean, in light of the earlier, I would side with the Nitziv 3. Oh. So again, so the first one on the list of the Shiltos, again, who applies the Patur of Hanas Atzmo, but again, you see from the presentation of the Shiltos that although the Maskani applies Hanas Atzmo to both Farhesia and to Shmad, again, he has Tzad L'chalik, and to specifically apply Hanas Atzmo to Shmad and not to Farhesia. We're going to see later that some other people say it's exactly the opposite. That is a tzad specifically to apply Hanas Atzmo to Farhesia and not to Shmad. So we're going to see that as well. Fine. So now let's just go into other Rishonim, seem to apply Hanas Atzmo to the case of Shmad. So next on the list is Rashi, which is very important, right? In light of the fact that, you know, based on Rashi and Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph alone, you could say, oh, unclear, you know, which way he would go. This factor of Torah Matzah Halel, would that apply the Hanas Atzmo? It wouldn't be clear, but it's clear from Rashi and Dalet Amud Beis, there's a diuk that he clearly applies Hanas Atzmo to the case of Shas Hashmad. So this comes out from the Gemara Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Right, this is after Rava introduces, you know, his heter of Hanas Atzmo. And the Gemara says, "Va'oz the Rava l'tameh," in the case of Aspasta. I don't want to read Va'oz the Rava l'tameh, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Just want to see it. Can you see it, Yudah?
Yeah.
You go for it.
So the Asda Rabba.
Third word in line is Basda. First word in line is Atzman Shani.
Okay, Basda Rabba Tanay. No, Rabba. Akum Damadai Lahai Yisrael. Klaas Batim Shabsa. Shabbat with Yusai. The Elo Kasimala. Lift all the love. Lift to land. And he says to take it to harvest it. So that you can feed my animals. So you cut it and make it. So in the Nara, it's just sort of the river instead. So it looks like low, looks like to get killed, not cut it. My time up. Of where it also kavai. This is because it was intending to make you over the other area.
But it's important. Right? The Rishon have to explain what is, why is there even a heart meaning. So right, so Heter of Hanas Asma. It sounds like this. Kavana la Abure, there is your heart by Abba. But what's the case? It's the case of Shabbos. So Shabbos is one of the Shara Averos. So there are two potential, you know, cases here. What are the two potential cases which would justify Yehari Vayavar for Shara Mitzvos? Exactly. So depending, right, so it's clear that Farhesia is subject to Hanas Atzma, because that's where Rava applied it originally. So again, you could simply, Rishon, right, could simply explain the Gemara. There's a case of Farhesia, and that's where Hanas Atzma applies. No worries. But if you look carefully at Rashi, Rashi explains the case as being either Farhesia or Shmad. And therefore, if you, you know, then insert the case back into the Gemara, it's clear, according to Rashi, that he's applying the Heter of Anas Asmel Bain B'Farhesia Bain B'Shas Asma. If you look at Rashi, do you want to Shadi Lenara? Can you go for it?
So Shadi Lenara, L'Haviru, whom is Kabe. The E Farhesia, who, O Shas Beres Malkos, Mahamalkos, lift away the low, lift us past. Right, Rashi says that.
Exactly. So it's clear from Rashi that he basically explains this case of Aspasa and the Gemara, where the Gemara applies the head of Anas Atzma, and extends it, Bain Befarasya, Bain Bishas Hashmad. And therefore, it's clear from Rashi that basically he's taking a stand on his farm. There, and he's basically saying that this snowball effect, this Torah Matahelea, only applies when it's Kavanah Lavuri. And it seems the idea, the Sfarah seems to be, that when it's Lahanas Atzmo, there's less momentum to that case. That if the guy is only, you know, causing you to be over for his Hanas, for his Hana, so therefore that's going to have less of a snowball effect on the violation of other Averis in the future. So again, Rashi again takes a clear stand on this issue, which becomes very important because just knowing his Sfarah alone, based on his comments in Ayin Daled Beis, it was an open question, so it's clear that Rashi is taking his stand. So then, moving on, we have the Baal Mor and the Machamas. Again, the Baal Mor and the Machamas clearly extend Hanas Atzmo to both Farhesia and Shas Hashman, because you remember, you know, the big discussions of Baal Mor and the Machamas about whether it applies to Averos Chamuros, but both agree that Hanas Atzmo is going to apply to Shmat, which again works out very nicely within their Chil Hashem approaches, because basically Baal Mor thinks everything is Chil Hashem. So again, it was pointed out before, the Pashtus Hanas Asmo would apply to Shmad if the Mechayiv is Chil Hashem. And even the Machamas, who argues that Averos Chamuros are Midin Chomersa Isser, admits that the Mechayiv of Shmad is Vinik Tashti, and therefore again, the Pashtus, I would explain why the Heter of Hanas Asmo, which is generally neutralizes Chil Hashem, would apply by Shmad. Bye. The last Rishon on this list is the Rashba in Ksubis, right? In the context, the Gemara in Ksubis, Gimel on the base, right, is discussing the case of, right, where they made a takana for the hegemon to be Baal in Isha Tchila before she's Baal with her husband. And the big machokas Rishonim is, right, the Gemara at one stage has a lijish lehu, the one shari. Why don't we just tell the Nashim to give in? So the big issue that all the Rishonim deal with is that why isn't there a Yahari Bayabur at play? So again, Tosas deals with the Arayos issue, but Rashba deals with the Farhesia and the Shmat interpretation. And the Rashba starts off his piece by saying, he says, Yesh misha hiksha, v'hoshas ha-shmadi, u'farhesya haya, the dinahu, the teharig v'l-tavor. And basically, there are two reasons to mechayiv her to be teharig v'l-tavor, farhesya, and shmad. So he thinks both factors apply in the case of her. And yet, the first day in the Rashba says, oh, those factors of farhesya and shmad are not problems because the case is hanas asma. So again, clearly applying Hanas Atzmo to the factor of Shmad. But it's very important to be medayik in his lashon. He says, this is the way he answers. V'ikl meimer, de lo Hanas Atzmon haya, de lo gazru hanisseis b'rivi teharik, it's clear that the takana there for, you know, the Hashem Tzivol, the Hegmon, was clearly just for the Hana of the Hegmon. The Diyuk is because if it was just, you know, a religious thing, they would have just said whoever gets married on Wednesday would die. Why is it, oh, whoever gets married on Wednesday never has to, you know, Tzivol, the Hegmon, Tzivol? It's obviously just for the Hana of the Hegmon. And he says, Va'afilu b'shasa shmad shari. Meaning, Hanas Atzmo is even mutter b'shas hashmad. Meaning, of course, it's mutter with Farhesia. The chiddush is that Hanas Atzmo extends beyond Farhesia to even shmad. So again, while the She'iltos in his Havamina has the opposite chiluk, to say that perhaps it's more pashit to apply the heter of Hanas Atzmo to shmad than it is to Farhesia, the Rashba, again, in his Havamina, thinks it's more pashit to apply Hanas Atzmo to Farhesia than it is to Shmad. And we have to understand the Rashba, at least the Havamina. What is his understanding of Shmad such that it's a bigger chiddush to apply Hanas Atzmo to it? So two basic possibilities. Again, this analysis is going to come back to the second group of Rishonim who actually say even the Maskana that it doesn't apply to Shmad. But at least within the Havamina of the Rashba, trying to understand what is the Rashba's understanding of Shmad such that it is at least less or at least more mechudash. It's more mechudash to apply, you know, Hanas Atzma to it. There are two ways to explain. So either you say that the Rashba, let's say, is aligning with Rashi. He holds of the Torah Matzehe al Ha'apshat, and therefore, while it's Pashit that Hanas Atzma neutralizes the Chil Hashem in Farhesia, it's not so Pashit that it neutralizes this factor Torah Matzehe al Ha'apshat. Let me point it out, because you could say that even in B'makom Hanas Atzma, there still is a certain momentum, certain, you know, snowball effect to giving in to Shmad. Again, it could be Lamaskana, he holds, you know, that it doesn't, you know, that the Heter does apply, and that, you know, the fact that it's Hanas Atzmo, you know, breaks the momentum, or at least slows down the momentum of Torah Matzehela. But again, if you understand the Rashba is aligning with Rashi, again, you can understand why it's more Pashit to apply Hanas Atzmo to the Chil Hashem of Farhesia than it is to this factor of Torah Matzehela of Shmad. The other way to understand it is that even the Rashba agrees that Shmad is Midin Chol Hashem. So then the question is, if it's Midin Chol Hashem, what's the difference between Farhesia's Chol Hashem and Shmad Chol Hashem? If anything, when we were trying to explain the She'iltos, we explained the opposite direction. We said, perhaps the Chol Hashem by Farhesia is more Chomer, either because it is the one that's Barabim, while perhaps Shmad is only Bitsina, or even if, you know, Shmad is also Barabim, but only the Chol Hashem of Farhesia is where the Rabbim actually see the violation. So again, up until now we've been justifying that the Chil Hashem by Farhesia being more Chomer. So why all of a sudden here is the Rashba, according to the second option, saying that within Chil Hashem, that perhaps even if Shmat is Chil Hashem, that it would be less likely to apply the Heter of Hanas Asma. So this gets back to what we opened this year with the Svara that we suggested earlier. And that is, even if Shmad is Midin Chol Hashem, it could be that it's less susceptible to the Heter of Anas Atzmo because the source of the Chol Hashem is not the Anas. The source of the Chol Hashem is really the context of Shmad. So perhaps since the source of the Chol Hashem is the context of Shmad, the fact that the particular Anas in the case at hand was doing it l'anas atzmo, that perhaps will have less of an impact on the Chil Hashem, because since l'maisa there's still a context of Shmad, you might still have a havamina that the hanas atzmo is going to have less of an impact of the Chil Hashem in the case of Shmad than it is in the case of Farhesia, where the Chil Hashem is being generated by the anas, and therefore once the anas is the kavanah of the anas is only l'anas atzmo, basically that takes away all the theological implications of the Chil Hashem. So in short, there are two ways to understand the Rashba, either in terms of understanding why he's less willing to apply Hanas Atzmo to Shmad, either because he thinks Shmad is some form of Chomer Sa'isr and of the Rashba variety, or even within Chil Hashem, perhaps it's more Chomer, Chil Hashem of Shmad is more Chomer because the source of the Chil Hashem is the context and not the Anas. Yeah.
That second Svara kind of raises the question of what exactly we mean by Hanas Atzmon Shas Hashmad, but is it that the whole Shmad was Hanas Atzmon, which seems to be literally done as Shari? One of the entire Xavier way was for the Hana of that guy, or Hashverj also something like, or whether, you know, it happens to be
this guy. That's a very good point. I was not being machalic, that's an excellent point, that within it's always very important to distinguish within the Hanas, where we've been just talking about Hanas Atzma in the context of Shmad, without, you know, defining these, that chilek. It is an important chilek whether the entire Shmad was within Hanas Atzma, or, which again, would take away, it's hard to say that's a Shmad when it's Hanas Atzma. I think we're going to see some Lashonos who say that, you know, if the entire Shmad was based on Hanas Atzma, that makes it not Shmad. I think that the Rashi is going to have such a Lashon. The Rashi is going to say that because...
I'm saying, but the Rashi we quoted so far, but he said
first day,
right? In the first day, he was assuming that is right. Hanas Atzman, Hayad the Logozer Shteri El Shtibay LaHegmon. I think was Hashem's mind. Sorry.
The question is, he just suggests. He just, and all he says is that it's the context of Shmad. So it could be that in the first day, a whole there is a Shmad. Part of the Shmad was, you know, this Hegmon idea. And the point is, oh, this particular Gzera was just LaHanas Atzman. That's how I assume. Because you see, the second day, I think he's going to argue and say, what do you mean? And again, it could be arguing within the same case, or it could be just arguing what the context was, and say, no, because at the end of the day, if the whole entire thing was the Hanas Atzma, it's hard to call that a Shmat, because Shmat sounds like there's some religious persecution and theological implications at hand. But again, it's always very important to be mechalik. And for sure, you know, my idea, again, my understanding of the Rashba is that there's a context of Shmat, and this particular case is one of Hanas Atzma. But it's important to keep that in mind. Yeah?
The second test we just gave for the Rashba, I actually originally read that as Shas HaShiltos.
That's the opposite.
Yeah. When I read the Shiltos, I didn't see anywhere where we actually said that Hanas Atzma was Shas HaShiltos.
That's what I was bringing in Sid before. Right, Sid is Medayik in the Havnina. Do you hear that, do you? He brings a raya of a spasta and says, oh, maybe that doesn't apply to Farhesia. So the question is, at that stage, what is he referring to? So it points out, it must be referring to Shmat, and therefore it must be that he clearly applies the heter of Hanas Atzma to Shmat, and it's even more pashit than applying Hanas Atzma to Farhesia. Okay, but Baruch, goodbye. At least these so Atkan, right, is the first approach that basically the Patur of Hanas Atzma does apply to Shema. And we explain the different reasons as to why, and, you know, different Mefarshim, depending on, you know, their orientation, whether, you know, which one's more Pashat, Shema or Farhesi, will impact, you know, which approach they seem to be taking. But now, the second camp of Rishonim basically thinks that the Patur of Hanas Atzma does not apply to Shema. And we're going to have to analyze each Rishon in terms of which approach they seem to be taking. So the first Mefarish, prominent, right, Rishon, who rejects the application of Hanas Atzma to Shmad, is the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam's presentation of Shmad, right, in Halachos, right, this Parakeh, Misurah Torah, Halachos Beis to Gimel. So in Beis, he is where he introduces the heter of Hanas Atzma in the context of Parhesia. And then in Gimel, when he transitions to introducing the Mechayev of Shmad, he says, V'chol ha-dvarim ha-ilu shelo b'shas ha-gzera, abo b'shas ha-gzera yehar v'yavor. It sounds like everything that I've been discussing in the context of Shmad is subject to yehar v'yavor. And the implication is that includes even the context of Hanas Atzma. And the Chiddush HaRan in an Ayin Dalet and Aleph basically makes that diyuk in the Rambam. And he says, if you look closely at the Rambam's presentation of Shmad, the Chiddush HaRan, Ayin Dalet and Aleph is the end of the piece that I had you see. I don't know if anybody has it here. But he is similarly reads the Rambam as, if you look closely at the Rambam, it's clear the Rambam rejects the application of Hanas Atzma to Shmad, based on the fact that he says, basically, in all cases, the Mechayev of Shmad applies. Do you have that line? I think it's like the end of the Ramazal of Al B'Shas Akzera.
Okay. Umash Malish Inkin, that's the Rambam Zal.
Okay, right, so that's the way the Chiddush HaRan reads the Rambam as not applying the heter of Hanas Atzma to Shmad. The question we have to ask is that if you look at the context of the Rambam, he's talking about a context, right? It's all about Chil Hashem. So the question returns. If the Rambam thinks that the Mechayev of Yehar Vayavor for Shmad is Chil Hashem, so why wouldn't, you know, the Heter of Hanas Atzma apply? So again, I think there are two ways to explain the Rambam. And we had that same question for the Beis Kamuros. And if you recall, the Rambam in Halacha Beis doesn't apply the heter of anas atzmo to the averus chamurus. And again, if the whole mechayev of averus chamurus was chilul Hashem, why wouldn't it apply? So we developed there that perhaps the Rambam, based on other, you know, Rambams as well, perhaps the Rambam thinks there are two mechayevim in the context of averus chamurus. Not only is it chilul Hashem, there's also chamurus iser, and therefore that second item of chamurus iser is not subject to the heter of anas atzmo. So it's possible to suggest similarly when it comes to shemad. That shemad also has two mechayevim, although it's clearly stated in the context of Chil Hashem. Perhaps the Rambam thinks that Shmad also has the additional Mechayev of Chumrasa Isser, of either the Netziv or Rashi variety, and therefore it's not going to be subject to the Heter of Hanas Asma. And again, that would align, again, if you remember, if you recall, my interpretation of the Rambam in Halacha Dalad, or if you think that the Rambam is only, you know, invoking the Ptur Onis for Shmad, again, that would imply that, you know, one interpretation of it is that there's a chumras iser by shmad. Again, that would be a way to tie both halacha gimel and halacha dal together. That the Rambam again invokes the ptur onis by shmad and doesn't apply the heter havanas atzam to shmad because he thinks that beyond the mechayev of chil Hashem, right, there's also the factor of chila of chumras iser, which is therefore not subject to the heter of havanas atzam. Again, one way to interpret the Rambam is that the reason why Hanas Atzmo doesn't apply to Shmad is because there's a Mechayev of Chumras HaIsser. The second way to explain the Rambam is that even if the Mechayev of Shmad is purely and only Chil Hashem, perhaps you can still justify the lack of Hanas Atzmo based on the story we gave before. Again, like we explained for the Havamina of the Rashba, here it's for the Maskana of the Rambam, that even basically that the Shmad, the Chil Hashem of Shmad perhaps is less susceptible to Hanas Atzmo than the Chil Hashem of Parhes, yeah? Because the Chil Hashem in the context of Shmad stems from the larger context, and therefore the Hanas Atzmo of the Anas will play less of a role than it does in the context of Parhesya, where in the context of Parhesya the Chil Hashem is stemming from the threat posed by the Anas, and therefore if the threat of the Anas doesn't have theological implications, perhaps that undermines the entire Chil Hashem. So again, either explain the Rambam based on accepting the Chumras Isser approach to Shmad, or accepting the Chil Hashem, but with this Svara that even Chil Hashem of the Chil Hashem of the Shmad variety is not subject to Hanas Atzma. So right, so that's the Rambam, who clearly doesn't apply Hanas Atzma to Shmad. So other Rishonim who also do not apply. So the other Rishon is the Rabbi Abad, quoted him in the Rashba, right? The Rashba's first day in the Gemara, right? He says that, or assumes that the case of in Gimel and Beis is a context of Shmad, and yet he thinks that Hanas Atzma applies. So the second day, he quotes the Rav of Bezin, which is the Rabbi Abad, who's the father-in-law of what we know as the Ravid. So the Rabbi Abad argues and says, no, the Heter of Hanas, meaning if this case was one of Shmad, the Heter of Hanas Atzma would not apply. So he says as follows. Rabbi Abad, Omer, Dechol b'shas ha-shmad afilu b'hanas atzman teharek b'al tadlar. Right? Explicitly, that the heter of anas atzman does not apply in the context of shmad, and therefore, how are you going to explain the Gemara here? V'hacha l'anas atzman miskabnin v'lo l'shmad, as I was referencing earlier. Here, because according to this is not a context of shmad, because the whole kavana was all l'hanas atzman. Because again, No, in Gimel and Beis. That was the Hegmon case in Ksubas. So basically, according to the second day, it seems like the whole potential context of Shmad was all coming from this Gzera. And since you say that the purpose of this Gzera was Lanas Atzmo, that undermines the whole din of Shmad. Now, I was discussing with Asher about what was Metzias the first day. Asher was saying perhaps even though the whole Gzera was Hanas Atzma related, that can still be viewed as a Shmad. And I was saying, perhaps there was a larger context of Shmad which actually had religious persecution, implications, and just that this particular aspect of it was Hanas Atzma related. Fine. So the Rambam and the Rabbi Abad. And then, aligned with Rabbi Abad, is the son-in-law, the Ravid. And if you see the Ravid in Kasev Sham that I have printed out, right, the Ravid has an interesting line. He basically explicitly says that the heter of Anas Atzmo does not apply to Shmad, but he has an interesting, justification for it, which is Ton Hasber. So if you someone to read for us, anyone have the sheet? Can I go for Aaron? So first, again, the first part is quoting the Balamor, who again, clearly, as you pointed out before, the Balamor, like the Mechamas, apply the heter of Anas Atzmo to Shmad, because they think it's all a din in Chil Hashem. But then comes along the Ravid in the Kasav Sham and argues. See, Amar Avram.
Amar Avram Zutos Kavura Kilo Mishasa Shemad Apil Hanasan Yarek Al Yavar. Diver Rav Achazal. Afa Pishat Einan Purashim. Yarek Kinyan Hazak.
So Rai is the Nadi Rav. Okay, but the key, how does he justify it? It's very important. What's the Raya Zuraya that the Heter Vanas Asma doesn't apply to Shasa Shmad? What's the Raya?
I think
it was the He says the fact that, when you read it again, he says in Indian Atma Sha'amru Afilo Mitzvah Kala Yahar Layavar, he says the fact that Shmad even applies to Mitzvah Kala, even applies to Raksat Msana, that's a raya that there's no heter of Anas Atma. And the kasha is, what exactly is that raya? Right? You can say, if you take classical Chil Hashem approach, you know, perhaps every Mitzvah Kala in the context of Shmad has Chil Hashem, but in the context of Anas Atma, that undermines the Chil Hashem. So why does the Ravid think that the extension of the Har Vayavar of Shmad to Mitzvah Kala indicates that there's no heter of Anas Atzma? Right, you hear the question? So it's possible to suggest that the Ravid, right, if you basically might be taking, let's say, perhaps like a Rashi type approach, and the Ravid is basically saying that because it's all about Torah Matzah Halel. And therefore, he's saying the fact that we extend it, being the implication of extending the Yehar Vayavar of Shmad to even Mitzvah Kala is that we don't want to give in to anything, because if we give in to anything, there will be a snowball effect. And therefore, once the Yesod is, oh, we don't want to give in to anything, so then yeah, anything includes a context of Hanas Atzma. Just like Mitzvah Kala is like an extension. So too, from the perspective of, like, you know, Torah Matzah Halel, so too Hanas Atzma is an extension. And the idea is, again, snowball effect. We don't want to give in, you know, one letter, because once you give in on anything, that will create the snowball effect. And if you look at the last couple words in the Ravid, I think that might have the impact. And he says, again, when he, you know, repeats as he so, that Afilu L'mitzvah Kala Ki Hayah Raksa D'Masana, Shma Mina Kol B'Shasa Shmad Aser. Right, he seems to be saying this, an idea that we don't want to give in to anything. So again, one way to explain this is, like, you know, along the lines of Rashi's Torah Matzah Halel, is that once it's about not giving into anything, so then, yeah, the extension to Mitzvah Kala, you know, does imply, you know, it does indicate that we also don't want to give in the context of Anas Atzma. Fine. So the last, you know, Rishon, again, who was explicit about not applying the Heter of Anas Atzma to Shmad, is the Ra'ah in Avodah Zarah. Right? The Ra'ah in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Ches, Tirmas Lepiska here. He says this explicitly, right? When he introduces the context, the heter of Anas Atzma, he has a clear qualification to say that it doesn't apply to Shas Hashmad. He says, Miyu Hani Milin, where is this? Over here. Right, he says, Miyu, I'm not sure, right, I could do it. Yeah, go for it, yeah, after the period, go for it.
Miyu Hani Milin, Bishamitkaven, Agoy Le'aviro. אבל מתכוון להנעת עצמו, כל אחד אליו שאת השנעד יעבור והיירים. ואפילו בפרסיה חוץ משלוש עבירות חמורות.
Okay, so basically it's clear that, right, when he's introducing the heter of Anas Atzma,
it's only
by Farhesia. But there's a clear exception of Shas Hashmad. He says, oh, if it's Shas Hashmad, then even if it's Hanas Atzma, you're going to be subject to Yehar Vayavar. So again, he doesn't hint in any way to the one list, but again, insert, you know, our previous analysis, either is a certain version of Chil Hashem, or it's a certain version of Averus Chamuros, or a certain version of Torah Matzah Halel, which would, again, dictate that the Heter of Anas Atzma would not apply to Shema. And then, one Rishon who has a suffix on the matter is the Hagos HaShri. Right? And the Hagos HaShri in Ksubis, again, in the Sugya and Gimel on base, and in the Rush, right? Hagos HaShri on the Rush, in Perek Aleph, Simon Dalid, Nagosha Ashri has a line there where he says, "Vitzarach Ian hichad miskavin o ovik chavim lanas atzma beis tzara ishar." So again, he explicitly is mesupik about whether this heter of anas atzma would apply to the context of Shmad. And again, there are two ways to analyze Nagosha Ashri. Either he's mesupik about, you know, what the mechayev of Shmad is, in the like it's in the variety of like he's not sure whether it's Chil Hashem and he thinks, oh, if it's Chil Hashem then for sure Nas Asma should apply, or he's not sure whether it's that, or really it's a din say of you know Chumras Isser, in which case he thinks that you know it shouldn't apply, or he is sure about you know what the exact mechayev of the Yahari Layavar for Shmat is, but again, even within an approach, he's misupik. As we've seen so far, we've seen like even within the Chil Hashem, they're too sudden. And even if Shmat is within Chil Hashem, you can say, oh, of course, Hanas Atmo neutralizes Chil Hashem. Or you say, no, maybe the Chil Hashem of the variety of Shmat, which is not you know stemming from the Anas, but stemming from the context, maybe that's not subject. And we saw even within, say, within Rashi's Svara of Torah, Matahe Alel, again, we saw that two stardom in terms of whether you know whether you apply the snowball effect in a case of Hanas. So again, either the Gosa Shri is Gufa Mesupik about what the Mechayev of Yehar Layavor is for Shmad, or he knows exactly, he's confident about what the Mechayev is, but again, he's not sure within a particular Mechayev whether that particular Mechayev is subject to the Heter of Hanas Atzim. So Adkan is the discussion of the application of the heter of Hanas Atzmo to Shas Hashmat. So the second, in the remaining couple minutes that we have, issue we'd like to discuss is the application of the other heter of Karka Olam. Is whether or not the heter of Karka Olam, again, which is, right, is only introduced in the Gemara in the specific context of Parhesia, right, the question is whether that also applies in the context of Shmat. So again, just like we did last time, you have to analyze this question from the perspective of the different approaches to the Mechayev of Shmat. So again, from the Chil Hashem approach, so presumably, at least in the context of Karka Olam, there should be an equation between from the Chil Hashem perspective, between Farhesia and Shmat. And since it's clear that the Heter of Karka Olam is applied to Farhesia, so presumably you would also apply that to Shmat. Because again, between you know, the role of the anas versus the context, but at the end of the day, from the perspective of Karka Olam, it's just her being passive. Once we say that, oh, there's no Chil Hashem for her passivity in the context of Farhesia, presumably that would be the same thing for Shmat. So again, if you take the Chil Hashem approach, you would expect to apply the heter of Karka Olam to Shmat. If you think that the Mechayev of Shmat is Avodah Zarah, like the Netziv, so then the issue would be subject to the broader machlokes, which we didn't get to yet, in terms of whether the heter of Karka Olam extends to the Averos Chamuros, which is a big sugya. We only saw the Rivam, who thinks that, if anything, it's more pashut that it applies to the Averos Chamuros. But again, other Mefarshim are going to say that no, perhaps the heter of Karka Olam does not apply to the Averos Chamuros. So again, if you think that the Mechayev of Shmad is Avodah Zarah, is based on the Averos Chamuros, so then it's going to be subject to that you know broader machlokes about whether the heter of Karka Olam carries over to the Averos Chamuros, which then impact Shmad, which is basically considered an Averos Chamura. Fine. And within the third approach, that is again, it's based on Torah, the Rashi's version of Torah Matahe Aleh, the snowball effect, again, I think they're two stuff. Just like we had by Anas Atzmo, the question is whether the fact of Anas Atzmo affected the momentum. You could say similarly to Tzadnik by Karkola. On the one hand, you can say any violation is, you know, is going to create a momentum, a snowball effect, and therefore a Torah Matayala. Or you say, no, perhaps there's only a momentum like when there's an act of giving in. When the Jew gives in and violates the Avera, Bukum Ba'aseh, so then the guy is thinking, oh, look, you know, the Jews are giving in, let's do more. But if it's just Karka Olam, if the person is completely passive, then you can say, the Jew never gave in actively. He just stood by and you basically forced him to do it. So perhaps there's less of a momentum in the context of Karka Olam. So again, just like you had two tzadim within Rashi's Svara in the context of Anas Atzmo, I think you could similarly have two tzadim within Karka Olam, basically trying to ascertain whether the fact of Karka Olam slows down the momentum, and the question is whether you would still apply Mechayev in such a case. So that's the analysis. Now let's just go to the Bishon. I guess there's less evidence regarding this issue, but what two Mefarshim that I found are as follows. So the first one is the Ritva. Right? And the Ritva in Psachim, Chafayim Abeis, right, explicitly says that the Heter of Karka Olam does apply to the context of Shmat. Right? If you just read the Ritva inside, the Ritva says, Mikan Anu Lemedim, basically Karka Olam, whenever you know the person is not doing a maisa, lo yaharik, there's no din of yahar vayavar. Begilo Arayas HaChamur. And once we see, again, he's taking a stand, that once we see that the heter of Karka Olam applies to Arayos, which is very Chamur, Vadai Hu Adin B'chol Darish Ba'olam Ba'afilu B'Shas HaShmad. Kol Shekin, from Arayos, and if you think that the heter of Karka Olam applies to the big three, then Kol Shekin applies to Shmad. Which is interesting, Kol Shekin. It could be that he accepts, the Dome of Avodah Zarah idea, and then you explain it, right? Because if you think that according to the Tziv, that Shmat is an extension of Avodah Zarah, so again, if it applies to Avodah Zarah Mamish, then Kol Shekin is going to apply to the extension of Avodah Zarah. But perhaps even within the Chil Hashem idea, you can say the same idea, if it applies to the more Chamor violation of Chil Hashem, the context of the various Chamoros, so then Kol Shekin then applies to the lesser version of Chil Hashem in the context of Shmat. But either way, the Ritva clearly extends the heter of Karka Olam from the Averus Chamuros to the context of Shema. One other point that the Ritva, says here is that he says, based on my Yisod, that I think that the heter of Karka Olam applies to basically all Yahar Vayavors, again, Averus Chamuros, clearly for Hesia and Shmad. Basically, he says, it comes out that there will never be Yahar Vayavor for Mitzvos Aseh. Because the only time you're over an Avera, the Kumva Aseh, is by Lavin, right? The Avera says, don't do this, and you end up doing it. But it comes to a Bittel Aseh, Torah says, do this, and you just don't do it, so then that is Begeder Karka Olam, and therefore it will never have Yahar Vayavor by a Bittel of an Aseh. As I heard some guys discussing, the Ritva here is taking an important stand on another important issue, which I actually discussed in the last year in the Sukkah Shira. And that is, what is the nature of a bittel essay bikumbase? What does that mean? Let's say someone eats outside the sukkah. So you mevatel the essay, which was to eat in the sukkah, through a kumbase, through a maisa. So there's a big discussion, we discussed this last year, in the realm of kumbase versus sheval taisa, which is many nafkamina and a lot of different sugyas, whether it be onin or be lakodar minatora v'sheval taisa, all these different things. How are you magdir that, we'll call that bittel asay, that active bittel asay? Do you say that's bittel kumva asay? Because, basically the way you're magdir kumva asay versus sheval taisa is whether you were actively involved in a maisa. And here, the way you're mevatel was through performing an action. You weren't passive, you ate outside the sukkah. Or do you say, no, it's all really from the perspective of the mitzvah itself. Since the mitzvah, again, was to eat in the sukkah, then fundamentally, the bittul of that mitzvah was by not eating in the sukkah. Okay, you granted that you basically, did that agav in active, actively eating, but in lamdas, again, if you think of the gedder of sheva taisa of kumase, not in terms of how you did it, but rather in terms of just the perspective of the mitzvah itself, and if you think the mitzvah itself is to eat in the sukkah, then perhaps, eating outside the sukkah is just mugdar in a lacha term of not eating inside the sukkah. Again, this gets into the lumdas of the sukkah, because again, if you're magged in each case, you have to be magged to the particular essay. Because if it was a particular essay, let's in the case of a sukkah, is an isra essay of not eating outside the sukkah, so then the choladeos, you're violated to kumba essay. But either way, it's interesting the ritzvah here by saying that all bittel essen are b'shev al tais is taking a stand on the issue, and therefore saying that even if you're mevatel an essay, physically b'kumba essay, it's still mugdar in a lacha as a bittel shev al tais. Okay. That's the second one. And the last thing, we'll close with this, is the Rashba in Ksuvus. If you look carefully at the Rashba's presentation, I think there's an implication that he thinks that the heter of Karka Olam does not apply to Shmat. Yeah, I wish I had the Rashba here. But basically the Rashba, remember we were quoting before, the Rashba first day thought the case was Shmat. And it says, there's a heter of Hanas Atzma. The second day, right, we saw, was that no, there's no heter of Hanas Atzma by Shmad. There, the case is not Shmad. That's the second day. And then after the second day establishes that the case is not Shmad, the Rashba then introduces the factor of Karka Olam. The implication seems to be, and this is a diuk, that the Rashba only thinks that the factor of Karka Olam would be at play once you establish that there's no Shmad here. But the implication is, according to the first day, which thought that the case was a case of Shmad, the only heter was Hanas Atzma, but the heter of Karka Olam would not apply. So again, the Diyuk and the Rashba, and in contrast to the Ritva, explicitly carries over the heter of Karka Olam Tushman is an implication that the Rashba does not think that the Heter Karka Olam applies to Shmat, and therefore only introduces the factor, the Heter Karka Olam, once it's established that the case in Ksubis is not one of Shmat. So again, we'll pick up next time with Raksa Demasana and other issues regarding Shmat.